This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Katie Ann McDonald producing today. First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and Vantage Health Plan provide signature support for our program. We begin today with Mike Wolf, a gentleman I refer to as the godfather of the Libertarian Party in Louisiana. He always grimaces when I give him that title because there are others who are involved, but I don't know of anybody who's been longer involved in the party than he. And if you follow libertarians, you know that occasionally they agree with Democrats, occasionally they agree with Republicans, and sometimes, often, they disagree with both parties. But one thing Mike Wolf has been consistent about is his aversion to the reign of Donald John Trump as the 45th American president. So you can imagine his points of view will be different than those of our other guest, Dr. Jeff Satto, who's been with us many times, the professor of renown of political science at LSU Shreveport, who is a conservative of note. His writings appear in many conservative outlets, and he has been largely a supporter and an occasional critic of President Trump, who is the gift that keeps on giving when it comes to national and local politics in Louisiana. Senator Bill Cassidy has been censured by the Republican Party in his home state for having the audacity to vote to convict President Trump on the article of impeachment that went before the Senate from the U.S. House. The riot at the Capitol was 7 weeks ago today, 49 days. We're still talking about it. A major hearing yesterday. And Bill Cassidy is now blessed with a six-year term, but he's an outcast in his own party. We'll begin with Jeff Satto. And again, if you'd like to participate, 877-217-5757. Professor, do you think Bill Cassidy should have been censured?
That's up to the party to decide, the Republicans, what they want to do about that. What I find obnoxious about what Cassidy did is he did it in such a disingenuous way. I mean, first of all, he tells us that he doesn't think the whole exercise is constitutional, and suddenly, after hearing these slick city lawyers make an argument, he suddenly changes his mind on that as if he hasn't done his own research on the question. He changes his mind on that, and that was a prelude to try to explain or to justify that he was really wanting to vote against Trump. So, you know, it was just very disingenuous, and you know, I don't know that you should censure politicians for that, since a lot of them are that all the time. But, that's up to the party. But, you know, again, my own personal opinion was that, there was nothing there. So what, no need to vote that way.
Nothing there as far as the president inciting the riot.
That's correct.
Why do you say that, Jeff?
What we know of it now, and more is coming out all the time, is that, you had this, this large gathering. You had Trump speaking to it. Apparently, 2-3 dozen people ahead of time decided that they wanted to take further action, violent action, potentially. They go over to the Capitol well before the speech ends. Trump never says anything to incite them. As a matter of fact, he says to the majority, the vast majority there, you should go over and peacefully make your intentions known. And it's just really nothing there to suggest that Trump is responsible in any way for.
All right. Well, we do want Mike Wolf to respond. And again, if you'd like to comment, talk at talklouisiana.org or 877-217-5757. The president did mention peacefully assembling after saying fight like hell. And many of these people didn't have a good housekeeping seal of approval. He had said it would be a major event, and Mike Wolf had turned out to be, and I think many would say the president was guilty. And Bill Cassidy said he voted to convict because, quote, he was guilty, as did seven Republicans, all the Democrats. Seven Republicans voted to convict the president. That's 57 votes. Take 67 to convict somebody if all the members are present, and they were. Did Bill Cassidy make the right call, or did our junior senator, John Neely Kennedy, make the right call?
No, clearly Cassidy was correct. I'm very glad he voted as he did. I can't justify whatever he said about the procedural matter, the preliminary vote. He didn't want to take up impeachment at that time. But it's clear that on the substantive matter, Trump violated his oath of office and committed just gross constitutional violation in inciting that riot, which he clearly did, as Cassidy said. So I think there's no question that Cassidy did the upstanding thing, and we should all be very grateful to him for doing that.
Well, he's getting praise in places he had not received praise before, because he did vote with the president 89% of the time. He was a Trump acolyte, voted for all three Supreme Court justices that were offered to him by President Trump, and went to the wall for Trump on Obamacare. And now he says the president, the former president, incited a riot, and the Republican Party in Louisiana is on his back. But he does have a six-year term, and he can live to fight another day. Donald Trump will be 80 years old the next time Bill Cassidy is on the ballot. But what does this say, before we go to our first caller, what does this say about the future of the Republican Party in our country? There is a schism. There is the Cassidy wing, and then there is the wing inhabited by John Kennedy and Garrett Graves and Clay Higgins and Mike Johnson and Steve Scalise. And they will go to the wall for the president every time and voted to negate the election. Mike, do you think this is an opportunity for your party to recruit some of those Republicans?
Well, certainly it is, yes. I heard Asa Hutchinson over the weekend, the governor of Arkansas, by the way, who was very much an anti-Trump Republican now. And all of the anti-Trump Republicans, all traditional Republicans who believe in the Constitution, mm-hmm. limited government, free markets, and personal responsibility, should be looking seriously at the Libertarian Party, because we're the only party that represents those values today. The Republican Party has been giving lip service to conservative constitutional values for years. But the huge deficits in this country started with Ronald Reagan, and they've continued and gotten worse under all the Republican presidents, as under the Democrat presidents.
With the exception of William Jefferson Clinton.
A brief interlude there with a lot of help from the Republican Congress.
Well, not in 1993 when he got no votes on his tax plan from the Republicans, but he did get some help in the latter stages of his term, his two terms. I'll concede that.
He did.
From people like John Kasich and others, and it was a team. And that's the way it should be in Washington, but there's no teamwork going on right now. And Jeff Sato, the lines are drawn. And many Republicans refuse to acknowledge that Joe Biden won a fair and free election. Do you believe that he won the election fairly and squarely?
Insofar as the data that's there, the things that we know, yes, he did. You know, the problem, unfortunately, is that we have much less confidence that what we do see out there in terms of the results than we have had in previous elections, because of rules changes that were made in the breach, allegedly to circumvent problems from the pandemic. So, from what we know, yes, that would be the case. Unfortunately, we have less confidence in what we know this time around than we've had in many of the past previous elections.
Mike?
Well, at least he concedes, obviously, Biden won the election, and that's the end of it. The big lie that he didn't is what they've been relying on to promote all this insurrection and so forth. But it's worse than just the insurrection. We've seen it for 4 years. The contempt for truth, the replacement of truth by deceit and posturing, phony BS on every issue in the world. That's how we lose values. This country, the government rests not just on a text, but it rests on values that the people who participate in the government show in their behavior. And so the loss of values in this country is the biggest problem we're facing.
Broussard in New Iberia. Broussard, you're on the air with Jeff and Mike.
Well, gentlemen, and yes, good topic today. But, guys, look, this country has always reaped what it soils. From the founding fathers to Donald J. Trump, manipulating people's minds with lies, And whatever they created, the lies toward blacks are now being used on the new Negroes, who are white people. And they're greed. There shouldn't be no party but a people's party. No Republican, no Democrat, no independent. Right. It's for the people if you're working for the people.
Are you an African-American, Broussard?
Oh, for sure. I'm African, not American. African.
Okay. For whom did you vote?
I voted for Biden. I wanted to vote for Trump, but his creation of being ugly towards other immigrants, which this country is made of, I couldn't take it no more because my greed, if I would have voted for Trump, I'd have been incarcerating a lot of the other immigrants trying to come to freedom.
All right. Thank you, Broussard. By the way, 20% of American black men, voted for Donald John Trump for president in the last election. 877-217-5757. Back with Wolf and Sato after this timeout. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Mike Wolf and Jeff Sato on opposite sides of Donald John Trump and the Republican Party, I think, is fairly the, until further notice, the party of President Trump. And in Louisiana, it's worked pretty well. More Republicans are registered now in our state than ever before. But nationally, after what happened 7 weeks ago in Washington, D.C., the New York Times reports that in January, 140,000 voters quit the Republican Party in 25 states, not happy with the direction of the grand old party. What do you think? 877-217-5757 is your number. Rebel in Sherwood. Rebel, you're on with Professor Sato and Mike Wolf.
Hi. Thank you, Jim, and thank you, gentlemen. The professor, well, first of all, I just want to say that I want to commend Mr. Cassidy on finally accepting reality for a change, something that the Republican Party clearly has problems with. And I also want to once again denigrate our other senator, Mr. Profiles and Cowardice, John Kennedy himself. But, Mr. Professor, two questions for you. Would any of this over the last 4 years have happened and led to the insurrection but for Donald Trump?
Was Trump the catalyst for what happened in Washington, whether he intended it to turn out as it did or not?
No.
No. That's a definitive answer, and it was a yes or no question. And Mike, earlier you said the answer is yes.
Yes, indeed.
But Jeff Sato is a man of, I believe, a man of good faith, and I don't think he's just saying this because he's trying to defend Donald Trump. You saw the video. The video is somewhat conclusive that this was a raucous crowd, all revved up, and somebody revved them up. And Mitch McConnell, of all people, said it was one man, Donald John Trump. Is that fair to Trump, Mike Wolf?
Well, the thing is, yes, he was the main guy pushing the whole thing. The incitement didn't just occur on the 6th. It had gone on for weeks, ever since Election Day, when he denied the truth of what happened on Election Day, who got how many votes, and so forth, the big lie. So he's very much responsible for it. But again, the reason we've got the problem we got in this situation is the two-party system. People need to realize they don't have to vote Democrat or Republican. That's why we've got Trump in the first place, because people who didn't like Hillary Clinton figured they had no place to go.
No, but if she had gotten Gary Johnson's votes in 2016, she would have won the election.
That's right.
Probably a lot of Democrats didn't like her voting for Johnson as kind of a protest, and we got Trump. So third-party candidates, Ralph Nader made the difference in 2000 with Albert Arnold Gore. Sometimes third-party candidates gum up the works.
It could have. That's always debatable, of course, where those votes could have come from many places, like, you know, Gore's own state. But you really, the Libertarians present a serious alternative, and I want everybody to think about it. In the second district race, for example, we've got a great candidate in Mindy McConnell from New Orleans. She's a middle school principal, works in the central city part of New Orleans. Very, very well-balanced person. Smart, young, energetic. She's going to be having a meet-and-greet in Baker on Saturday, and you can find out about it at mindymcconnell.org. The only thing she shares with Mitch is the last name, by the way.
Okay, all right. Leonard on airline. Leonard, you're on with Mike Wolf and Jeff Sato. Hi, Leonard.
Hey, how you doing today, Jim?
Doing well.
I think canceled his show Backbone when he made a decision. I think that it was honorable, a honorable decision. And what Trump has never been honorable at all. And I predict that Trump would never be president again.
All right. Well, he gives every indication he'd like to be president again. And right now, of course, he's fighting some legal issues. And Cyrus Vance, the DA in New York, he now has his tax returns. Is the former president dead as a future candidate, Jeff Szeto, in your party, or does he have a shot of resurrecting what happened in 2016?
Yeah, no, I don't think he has that kind of political future in the Republican Party. We look at the history of ex-presidents, I guess, that are still eligible to run. They never go anywhere if they have that desire. I think most of them kind of understand that. I think Trump's going to come to that understanding, and plus, he's getting up there in age, although he's youngster compared to the current president. So yeah, I don't think that. You know, I think it's going to be more trying to provide leadership. Whether it's accepted is another matter, but trying to provide it in other ways. But no, I don't think he's going to be a candidate for anything in the future.
But if not Trump, who? Who would be the primary contender or contenders for 2024?
Well, you know, some old names, Pence and Cruz, give you a new name who's getting a lot of notice lately. That's Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida. But, you know, last time there were, 16 or 17 that ended up running. So, who knows?
I got one for you, Bill Cassidy.
Bill Cassidy. Cassidy would probably have, Jeff, a better chance in the Democratic primary than in the Republican primary. He is.
Yeah, if there was one here, yeah, sure.
Persona non grata. But what about Don Trump Jr.?
Oh, no, I don't see anything him pursuing that kind of career. He wasn't really involved in politics prior to his father becoming president. And
his father wasn't involved either as a candidate. But
he tried many times. I mean, he actually won votes for the Reform Party nomination back in 2000, I think it was. So, I think again, it's going to be more behind the scenes. Kind of influence. I don't think he or his father are going to offer themselves as candidates.
Kim in White Oak. Kim, you're on with Mike Wolf and Jeff Szeto. Hi, Kim.
Good morning, gentlemen. I would like to add my voice of support to Senator Cassidy for his bravery and leadership in his position, and I'd like to point out why. I'm a 75-year-old lifelong Republican, Marine officer, Vietnam veteran. I have served and known leaders, and leaders step up to take advantage of situations and control them. In my mind, what convicted Donald Trump was not what he did, but what he didn't do. There is sufficient evidence that he was encouraged to get on TV and tell those people to back down, and he refused to do so. A leader does not do that.
Well, thank you, Kim. Thank you for your comments, and thank you for your service to our country. Tom in Woodland Ridge. Tom, you're on. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Jim? Good morning to your guest. Professor Szeto obviously is not a professor of mathematics. 66% of the American population is non-Republican, and only 75% of Republicans favor Trump. So that's 75% of 25% of the population favor Trump. How do you select him as the head of your party?
Well, I don't want to put words in Jeff's mouth, but he did say he thought Trump's days as a candidate are gone. But is he still the titular head of the GOP, Jeff?
No. Presidents who don't win second terms, try and don't win second terms, usually do not have a lot of influence within the party. And I think already we're looking at, just in the first month of the new administration, a number of new, maybe I shouldn't say new, but voices that were not as clearly heard during the Trump presidency are now being heard and providing leadership for the Republican Party. So, yeah, no, I'm not sure where the caller got the idea that I thought that Trump would be the de facto head of the party. But, no, that basically that ended on January 20th.
Why are people like Scalise going to Mar-a-Lago, though, and kissing the ring of the former president? Is there any percentage in doing that right now?
It can't hurt, certainly. I mean, Trump has influence in the party, but I don't think he has a major influence in the party now when you look at its totality, and it's going to diminish over time.
877-217-5757, your number, a line open. When we return after the news, we'll go to David in Atlanta and Dan downtown.
LRN.
This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. We're discussing the future of the Republican Party, which is still the number two party as far as registered voters in Louisiana. But as far as elected officials in statewide office, there's only one Democrat standing. He's in the governor's office. His name is John Bel Edwards. And the Republican Party has dominated state politics. Donald Trump in Louisiana beat Hillary Clinton by 398,000 votes in 2016. He defeated Joe Biden by 399,000 votes in 2020. So he had some mojo in Louisiana that was profound. And he has great impact on politics throughout the South among the 11 SEC states. The vote was 19-3 to acquit the former president on charge of inciting an insurrection 7 weeks ago. And the vote in the other 39 states, 54-24, to convict. So more than two-thirds of the senators in the other 39 states did vote to convict President Donald John Trump. He was saved by the Southeastern Conference, of which LSU and Louisiana are ranking members. Let's go back to the phone lines, and David in Atlanta has been waiting patiently. David, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Mike Wolf and Professor Sado. Hi, David.
Hi, good morning. Trump has clearly set the tone and the mood for violence. He said at a campaign rally, if you think someone's about to throw a tomato, beat the blank out of them. I'll pay you legal bills. He said, in the good old days, someone like that would be taken out in a stretcher. Now, I'd like to ask the professor, would you ever associate yourself and invite a group of violent, anti-Semitic races like the Proud Boys to back you up? Now, no person of decency would do that, and Trump has no decency. What, would you have said those words, Professor, or would you condemn Trump for saying those words?
All right. Did the president invite the Proud Boys to come to his rescue, Jeff Sado?
Could you repeat that?
He said, would you do it personally? And that's that's David's question, is to invite people like the Proud Boys to come to your rescue. He says that's what the president did for his cause. What do you think?
No. I don't interpret those statements as what the caller, as how he would seem to interpret them. I mean, for example, the tomato statement. I mean, anybody there, unless you're talking to someone who's really unbalanced, is not going to literally do something like that or take that kind of thing seriously. So, and something, though, I think that would be useful if we all would do would be apply that same kind of test to the rhetoric we heard across America in 2020 in Portland, Minneapolis, Louisville, all sorts of places where there was far more damaging rioting in the hundreds of millions of dollars.
Far more damaging than we saw at the Capitol?
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think so.
Trash an entire courthouse in Portland.
Were five people killed?
Dozens have been killed in across the country in those kinds of riots. So I think we need to have we need to condemn all violence.
Should the president be held to a higher standard, though?
We need to look at all violence, and if we're going to evaluate statements being made by political elites, then we need to look at all of them, including remarks made by a number of Democrats that did not seem to discourage that kind of violence going on last year.
All right. So it sounds like Jeff Sado is blaming the Democrats, Mike.
Well, that's a false equivalency, I believe. And by the way, this matter of rhetoric and language is what I was getting at when I spoke of values and principles. What determines the nature of a government and governmental policies are the concepts we use in analyzing them, in developing them. So language is very important, and principles are important. The Libertarian Party prides itself on being a party of principle, and that we put constitutional principles and legal principles above personalities. But we must recognize that the good government flows from good values, and the Trump administration represented just a prostitution of values and a terrible failure of democratic
principles. I do recall in 2016 your nominee, Gary Johnson, who got a lot of votes, as we know, former governor of New Mexico, he did call President Trump the P word, the same word that President Trump used for Mike Pence. And he wasn't calling the vice president Pence either. He was using another five-letter word. 877-217-5757. Dan downtown. Dan, you're on the air with Jeff and Mike.
Hi. Yeah, Mr. Wolf. Should New Orleans voters be concerned that if your Libertarian candidate wins the second district seat, she will caucus with the GOP, thus jeopardizing possible Democratic control of the House?
I don't know where she would caucus if she wins, but that's a possibility. But I don't know how you dig into that, really. There are two independents up there now in the House that caucus with the Democrats, but they don't always vote with the Democrats. I don't know what the role of caucusing is up there exactly, and I don't think it bears so much on their votes in Congress.
Will in Baker. Will, good morning. You're on with Jeff and Mike. Hi, Will.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Jim. Good morning to your guests. Jim, you keep numbers just as good as anybody. Just when they convicted President Clinton for that Monica Lewinsky thing, the Republicans know if they were to convict Donald Trump, the outfall of that would be ridiculous, because they know just, you know who fell and all the ones that convicted, and then they end up being ones that were doing the same thing President Clinton did in office, but they were at a much higher level. So the Republicans are not, they don't want to fall. They know that he was wrong, but they don't want to fall for that, because if you make Donald Trump fall for that, they know they're going to be the next ones in line.
All right. Well, Clinton was not convicted. He was impeached by the House, and four articles of impeachment, two advanced to the Senate, and neither got a majority. This time there was a clear majority, but not two-thirds. But it is curious that those who were calling for Clinton's head, Newt Gingrich and Bob Livingston, they ended up getting embroiled in sexual scandals themselves. And then the guy who became Speaker of the House, Denny Hastert, was outed for molesting young boys when he was a wrestling coach. The longest-serving Speaker of the House in the Republican ranks in the history of our country, Dennis Hastert, I believe is still in prison for molesting young boys. 877-217-5757. James in Metairie. James, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hey, good morning to you, Jim, and to your guests. You know, Professor Sadow, trying to make an equivalency argument of what happened last summer when those horrible riots and the destruction, and then what happened on January 6th at our nation's capital. This Trump mob tried to stop the constitutional functioning of our government by stopping the vote count and stopping the certification of electors. It's not even close as to the magnitude of how the destructive power and the undermining confidence of our elections by these Trump mob people.
All right. You got James worked up, James and Metairie. Jeff, you know when you make those statements, you're going to lather up some people. And James, I know him well enough to know that he, like you, is a fair-minded person, but he comes to a much different conclusion than you. Can you accept that?
What is that? That we come to different conclusions?
Yes, and that we can live to fight another day and have respect for one another.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's what my profession's all about in academia. We often have rather divergent views trying to explain the same phenomenon. But yeah, as long as you make an honest effort to come to the truth, I mean, sure.
All right. By the way, David in Lafayette, when we talk about redos, and Jeff said that it's unlikely that Trump would be on a national ticket again. We did have Adlai Stevenson in 1956 who tried to beat Dwight Eisenhower twice and failed twice, second time more profoundly than the first. And then there was Grover Cleveland, who made a comeback. He's president number 22 and 24. Even though we had 46 presidents, we've only had 45 men who have been president because Cleveland did come back. But that was in the year of 1880. It has been a year or two. Albert Samuels at Southern University, the professor calling another professor, and Mike Wolf. Professor Samuels, you're on the air.
Good morning, Jim, and good morning to your guests. I'm just going to make two quick points because I know time is short. In reference to questions about the result, the only reason that there are quote-unquote questions about the results is because Donald Trump repeatedly for months has lied about the election and about the results, and his supporters believe him. That's the only reason they're question number one. And then number two, just real quickly, I find it interesting that the same people who want to hold the Democrats responsible for their words want to pretend that Donald Trump's words have no consequence, that he is not responsible for what people have done based on his words.
All right.
And I'm going to stop right there.
All right. And we'll get Jeff and Mike to comment. We're heading to a break, but before we go there, let's slide in John in Dallas, who has been calling in, or did call in a little while ago and has been waiting patiently. John, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. I guess the math on Professor Sato's reckoning is two wrongs make a right. That seems to be the attitude.
All right. Thank you, John. What about two wrongs making a right? You mentioned the Democrats, in your view, fanning the flames in other places. And the president, of course, is accused, I think rightly, you think wrongly, of inciting the riot in Washington. But do two wrongs ever make a right in politics or anywhere else, Professor?
No, I'd say not, and that's not what I'm doing.
All right, 877-217-5757. A few more minutes with Sato and Wolf when we return. And we're also slated to hear about an alarming incidence of prostate cancer among African-American men. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Our erudite guests, Sato and Wolf, are with us for a few more minutes. Please be brief in your comments. We do have some folks lined up. We'll try to get to as many of you as we can in our remaining time with Jeff Sato and Mike Wolf. Steve in LaPlace. Steve, you're on the air. Good morning. Hi, Steve.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Fine.
Mr. Santo, I don't see why you want to be so ridiculous. You know that man, Donald Trump, intended to pull off a coup and stay in power for the rest of the duration of his life.
What was it, a coup? Was it a coup attempt, Jeff?
Are you kidding me?
Why are you laughing?
No.
He tried to overthrow a fair and free election, didn't he?
Yeah. No. I mean, not at all. Maybe in the fevered minds of a couple dozen people that were involved in that, but certainly not to the other thousand that were there, and certainly not to Trump.
There were only 24 people who went in the Capitol that day. Okay, Gustavo in Goodwood. Gustavo, you're on with Mike and Jeff. Hi, Gustavo.
Mr. Jim, I've been insulted.
Well, I'll tell you what. I recognize that as Henry at the Country Club. Now we got Gustavo. Gustavo, hang on, Henry. Gustavo, you're on.
Thank you. I just wanted to tell you that you and your dimwits are really amusing, still attacking President Trump a month after your idiots got elected, and almost 6-7 weeks after the so-called riot that, strangely enough, you never condemned the Antifa and the Black Lives Matter riots.
All right. Well, Gustavo,
do you
think the current president won fair and square? Okay, Gustavo's giving up the ghost. I guess going to a gym. Henry at the Country Club. Henry, you're on with Mike and Jeff. Hi, Henry.
Hey, Hey, Mr. Jim, well, Henry hadn't given up the ghost. I just wanted to correct something. Speaker Hastert was released from the federal penitentiary August 16th of 2017. So there, okay. I don't know what it is about those Republican wrestling coaches, but there's plenty of room if Jim Jordan needs a place.
All right. Well, Jim Jordan, I don't think, has been accused of what Denny Hastert was, and Hastert actually went to prison for it. When you point fingers at people in life or in politics, Jeff Sado, quite often there's a price to pay. People will point fingers back, and occasionally we find that many of these people have feet of clay, not just Democrats, not just Republicans. As I've said a few times, that if either party thinks it has a monopoly on virtue, they're sadly mistaken. Your thoughts?
Well, you live in a glass house. Even if you don't think anyone's going to notice, don't throw stones.
Well, you have been, I think, fair. I think most of our listeners obviously have disagreed with what you say, but I respect your point of view, even though I think it's apparent that President Trump had a lot to do. Maybe, as Mitch McConnell said, he's the one man who caused the riots 7 weeks ago. But Mike Wolff, repercussions, is this going to have a lasting impact, or is this something that a year from now we'll move on and remember just as a bad day?
Well, we'll see. Predicting the future is not in order, and we have to wait till it gets here. But let's hope this signals the end of the Republican Party as we know it. Hopefully it'll break up and the people will build a true constitutional party like the Libertarian Party and give us some candidates that are not dinosaurs claiming to be conservatives.
And Mike Wolff, thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Mike. But Mike, before we go to our next guest, I'm going to segue here. You are a prostate cancer survivor, correct?
Yes, that's correct, yes.
And how did you find out you had this issue?
It's a PSA test, routine PSA test, so a slightly higher reading, and then a biopsy confirmed it. I had very early stage.
And when you say a PSA test, I have them regularly. It's just a simple blood test is what it is.
That's
and
right.
With us
they have...
Are you there? Is
Hello,
Dr. Hall?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we've got.
No, we don't have. Okay, I don't have Dr. Hall because they just kept putting me on hold. Hold on one moment.
All right. Okay. Well, I'm trying to get Dr. Lanith Hall to comment. That's the plan. Who will comment about the if we get Dr. Hall, not only PSAs and the finding of prostate cancer, but a lot of people don't take blood tests, Mike, and if you don't take a blood test, you could find out too late, and prostate cancer is highly curable or highly treatable, but if yes. You find out too late, it can spread elsewhere, and it's curtains.
Yeah, indeed, yes. That's why it's important to be screened and tested periodically.
And what would you recall?
I can't remember the scores now, but it was moderately increasing. These things are relative. You know, they look at you compared to a baseline, and when there's a change over time, it merits further investigation. Then ultimately a biopsy confirms it.
Katie Ann, can you see if our guest is ready, please? Thank you, and we will hopefully have Dr. Lanith Hall, because prostate cancer among African Americans is particularly prevalent, and it is an issue that... that's not talked about. I think prostate cancer in this country is as prevalent as breast cancer, but men, quite often, we're reluctant to discuss our health issues, and quite often we don't like to go to the doctor either. And I would imagine, even though you've had surgery, did you have a prostate?
No, external radiation is what
okay.
I had. There are many
that's still surgery,
modalities.
But it's not removal.
X-ray
okay.
beams.
Well, Dr. Lanith Hall is with us, and as mentioned, among African Americans, the rate is much higher than it is among white Americans, and 1 in 7 black men, that's 28.6%, will be diagnosed with prostate cancer at some point in their lives in this country. Dr. Hall, are you there?
I am. How are you today?
Well, good to visit with you, and we were tap dancing trying to get your expert point of view, but I don't think I misspoke, and I have a gentleman who's a guest who has survived prostate cancer. It affects men of all races, but particularly black Americans. Why is it higher in the African American community?
Well, we have Dr. Bullock joining us also.
Good morning.
But, and quite frankly, we don't understand why there's such a higher rate of prostate cancer in African American men. There's been some data that suggests it might be environmental, related to our diet, related to exposure. But we don't have a clear understanding on why the incidence is 70% higher in African-American men than it is any other ethnic and racial group.
Yeah, Dr. Lanith Hall, and joined by urologist Dr. Arnold Bullock, a nationally recognized authority on this. And I mentioned the importance of being tested, but what are the causes? Do we really know the root causes of prostate cancer other than heredity, which often is a culprit for almost every type of cancer? What are the major reasons why someone would get prostate cancer?
Again, we're not sure as to why people get prostate cancer. Like many cancers, we don't know why. It's not like cigarette smoking or something defined. But regardless of how you get it, we can detect it by screening, and we can detect it at an early curable stage using the PSA blood test.
PSA blood test, I was talking with our previous guest. I've been told that if your level is above 4, that may be time for a biopsy. Is that hard and true, or does it vary? And do you want to test people more than once before you do a biopsy?
I do think it's important that if you have an elevated blood test, that you do a confirmatory blood test. But there's more specifics than that. It's not a clear-cut 4. Suppose a person's PSA was running stable for several years at 1, and now it's up to 2.9 or 3.2. I would say that also warrants a discussion for a possible biopsy or an MRI or other diagnostic test. The important thing is to meet with a cancer specialist and discuss your individual findings.
Mm-hmm. What kind of elevated rate could be caused other than cancer? Could it be an infection? Could other things prompt an elevated prostate reading?
Right.
PSA
so
reading?
So the prostate-specific antigen is just that. It is specific for the prostate gland. It's not specific for prostate cancer. So there are other benign conditions like an enlarged prostate gland or having inflammation in the gland or an infection in the gland that can lead to an elevated PSA. And there is no concern or no risk for prostate cancer. That's why the PSA is just an initial snapshot for the health of the prostate gland, and it usually demands a little more investigation as to determine if you need a biopsy or not.
Now, I mentioned the PSA numbers can be determined with just a simple blood test. There's no big issue in that at all. But biopsies, some say a biopsy is dangerous. Some say it's extremely dangerous. Is that valid?
So we have proven that the chances of a person getting an infection from a biopsy is 3% on a biopsy done in the urologist's office. It takes 4 minutes. A man can drive himself into the biopsy and drive himself home. So the risk of a biopsy is the biggest risk is risk of infection. And even if you get that infection, you merely come in the hospital for IV antibiotics. Now, a biopsy could also be done in the hospital as an outpatient under sedation, and the risk of getting an infection after you get IV antibiotics of a biopsy done that way is well under 0.5%.
All right. We're short on time, but a good question from a listener. Does an enlarged prostate necessarily mean potential problems with prostate cancer?
It does not.
But if you have an enlarged prostate, you could have other issues that probably would be warranted with a visit to your urologist, I would think. Am I right?
I think that's the key, that if you have a concern, you should see a urologist.
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Bullock. Thank you, Dr. Hall. We're back tomorrow, same time, same place. First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and Vantage Health Plan provide signature support. Stay safe and stay tuned.